Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here. We got another live episode today. Happy Friday, everybody. Editor Jossam is still working on the project that I mentioned yesterday. We're trying to get that out as soon as possible, so I thought we'd just do another quick live episode today. Cover some of the news. So today we've got an update on from Elon Musk on FSD version 9 and the subscription offering, a rumor on China June deliveries, more details on Panasonic's sale of Tesla stock, another price increase from Tesla. Wall Street Journal got their hands on a Plaid Model S, so they've reviewed that. And then we have a couple other stories as well. So we'll start off here with the stock. Tesla today, not finishing the run that we have had so far this week in the best fashion, down 1.1% today, but still a really strong week. The Nasdaq today was pretty close to flat, but Tesla for the week actually gaining 7.8%. This is the best week that Tesla has had since the second week of April. That compared to the Nasdaq up 2.4% on the week and the S&P 500 up 2.7%. So even with a little bit of a dip here on Friday, still a strong week for Tesla overall and a pretty high volume week. So we saw 40% more volume this week, roughly a little bit more than that on Tesla stock. So I don't know if people are just positioning ahead of obviously Q2 deliveries next week or what's going on there, but certainly an uptick in volume on the week for Tesla stock. All right, so first thing here, last night we got an update from Elon Musk, or I guess overnight today, about FSD. And we seem to be going kind of in half-lives here. We've gone from 2 weeks now down to 1 week. So Elon yesterday saying, I'm driving Alpha version 9, but we need to fix some obvious issues before releasing Beta 9. Hopefully next week, FSD subscription capability should be turning on via Tesla app. So kind of a couple updates there, but as I said, going down from 2 weeks now to hopefully next week. We shouldn't put a ton of stock in that because obviously Elon has said a couple weeks, going back maybe 3 months now. And if we cut that down, maybe we're a month and a half out, maybe a week. We'll just have to see. But it sounds like they're getting closer, and it's good that he's saying obvious issues there because that implies that it is something that they know how to fix, and it's just a matter of getting in there, fixing the issues, and then hopefully getting it out. So we'll see. As I said, Q2 does end next week on Wednesday. So I don't know if Tesla will try to get that out ahead of time because if they do release it in Q2, they can recognize more of the FSD deferred revenue. But I don't think, based on this tweet, that that's probably very likely. I think they'll probably just push that into Q3. And the timing of that could actually make a lot of sense if we see the subscription happen in Q3 as well. That's going to take revenue and profit from Tesla up front if more people are opting for subscription. So for Tesla to be able to have some of that deferred revenue to recognize in that first period where they're seeing what the subscription take rate is and things like that, how that's affecting the upfront purchase and how that's, all coming into the financials, it'd be nice for Tesla to have some deferred revenue to play with or to have as a cushion in case a huge portion of people switch into subscription, which is going to be more beneficial for Tesla over the long term, but not as much money upfront. So I expect we'll see both of these things in Q3. Certainly could happen next week, but I'm not holding my breath on that. All right, the other tweet we got here from Elon was on some Bitcoin stuff. We won't spend much time on this. He was going back and forth with Jack Dorsey of Twitter and Square a little bit. Jack is holding this B Word conference, B for Bitcoin there. Elon suggesting a couple other options, but sounds like Elon may be participating in this Bitcoin conference. So just wanted to point that out as well. We'll talk about that more as the time approaches. But anytime Elon is going to be involved, there's going to be, obviously a lot of coverage of that. So something to be aware of. Finally, on Twitter here, so we're kind of revisiting Tesla China analyst, Tesla Shanghai. Remember, we had previously gotten information from this Twitter account. We'd kind of looked at how well their previous predictions had mapped up against reality because they've oftentimes announced China delivery numbers before any other source. And when we looked back, there was a pretty small margin of error. I think just one or two times out of maybe 8 to 10 had been off by any significant amount. So they are saying here Tesla China vehicle delivery has been locked, Q2 sales down 16% from the first quarter. So it's a little bit confusing at first because obviously there's still some time left in Q2. I think they're just saying that the number has been locked in now because Tesla at this point, with less than a week left in the quarter, probably has a pretty good idea of how many vehicles they've got, produced and able to deliver all their orders and things like that. It's pretty much locked in at this point, I think, is what they're getting at. And the number that they're around is going to end up down around 16% from Q1. So he actually put, or he or she actually put out a little bit of their own forecast here. I don't think that part is necessarily as important as just looking at the China deliveries. So Q1, there was about 69,000, and then down 16% for Q2 would be 58,500. So that ends up being about 25,000 in June, which is still, you know, the second best month for Tesla in China this year, but still fails to compare to March, the last month of Q1, where Tesla delivered over 35,000 vehicles in China in that month alone. So I think this is kind of a middling number here. If that ends up being the deliveries, that certainly would, I think, ease some of the concerns around, you know, orders and demand in China, but doesn't go the full way back to having a really solid month like we saw back in March before sort of this brake failure sort of story kind of materialized. So I think it's a path back, but maybe not, you know, as quick as some people would like to see. It looks like this person is also forecasting zero exports for June from China, which doesn't necessarily fit with other reports that we have had. Maybe those exports will actually happen in July and Tesla's just prepping them for June. But if that does end up coming to fruition, then that could be, you know, that could mean that we do see a poorer than expected production number, again, if that's accurate, for June. And we did have, again, with a huge grain of salt, but earlier this week we talked about how there was that one report from a supplier that said June production schedule was a little bit lighter. So we'll see, but not, I guess, the best direction as we head into quarter end here. But again, probably not great to put a ton of weight into that, except for maybe this 25,000 China delivery number. I think that's probably the one number here that I would, you know, kind of look at and put some stock into. All right, next here, just an update on the Panasonic situation. So this is from the Wall Street Journal here, reporting on Panasonic's sale of Tesla stock. So they didn't give a specific reason. They just said that they intend to allocate, they being Panasonic here, intend to allocate the funds for growth investments without giving specific details. But they did recently announce that they're going to buy U.S. supply chain software provider Blue Yonder, and that's a $7.1 billion valuation. So for them to liquidate, you know, somewhere around $3, $4 billion in that ballpark of Tesla stock when they're buying another company for $7 billion, the timing there totally makes sense. They're probably just using that as a way to raise that capital for that acquisition. So I just wanted to provide an update on that. But again, they continued to say that they're continuing to partner with Tesla. We talked yesterday about the investments in 4680s as well. All right, next up here is an update on pricing. So we're breaking out our handy dandy pricing table. And we again here see that the Model Y has been increased by $500 for the long range version. No other price changes throughout the lineup. We've continued to see this on the Model Y. The last couple of price increases, it's been just on the long range Model Y, $500 a piece. We now see that the Model Y has had a $3,000 price increase this quarter alone. So six of those $500 price increase instances, which is, you know, a pretty significant amount for an individual quarter. We're just going to have to wait and see when we get the Q2 results, how much of that is demand related. Obviously, the wait times are listed right now for the long range Model Y is September. So demand is looking really, really strong. But of course, we've talked about raw materials price increases, supply chain increases, things like that, that could be impacting Tesla increasing these prices as well. I think it's probably a better sign on the demand argument side of that, that Tesla hasn't adjusted prices in sort of these other vehicles. You know, the Model 3 standard range is right at that $39,900 price range, so not too surprising to see them hold under $40,000 on that. But certainly they could have increased the long range Model 3, if they were having, you know, margin challenges, you would think they could bring that up to $49,900 without too much trouble versus the $48,900 that it's at right now. So I think the fact that this only happened on the Model Y long range, which seems to be the most demand constrained or the most production constrained at this point in time, is probably a good sign in terms of the demand argument. So that could be a nice tailwind for Q2 financials, which we should get in right around a month from now, maybe a little bit under a month from now. All right, next up here, we've got another Plaid review. We won't spend as much time on this one as we did on the Motor Trend and Jason Kamisa reviews earlier this week, but nice to see more articles about the Plaid. It's always fun to get those, and this is from Dan Neal, so he's a very well-respected automotive journalist. So a couple of first thoughts here. I had to highlight this one. To anyone still grumbling about body panel gaps, please. Our car was built like a nuclear sub and sounded a bit like one too, with a bathospheric quiet provided by acoustic glass in all the windows. Honestly, all you hear is tire noise. So some nice credit there for an often critiqued element of Tesla, body panel gaps. It looks like the model that Wall Street Journal has here, you know, obviously one of the first models, Tesla's probably putting a ton of attention on it, but good to see that they're giving some credit to Tesla for that, an area that they haven't received much credit in the past. All right, next up here, so this is on the yoke steering wheel. Everyone's got their thoughts on that. So they're saying here the yoke is actually quite hard for them to turn from lock to lock with one hand, as you might if you just bought a cup of coffee in the drive-thru, or if you're attempting a three-point turn and using the touchscreen-based gear selector, as we have all looked at. The steering's recentering force is sufficient to make the yoke slip from your grip, nor can you steer for even a second with your knee. The capacitive turn signal switches on the yoke are terrible. So talking about the replacement of the blinker there, his error rate was around 80%, he says. But he said that Franz said that the yoke prepares consumers for a time when manual controls slip from the experiential forefront of driving. In future Teslas enabled with full autonomy, the steerer could retract into the dash console, make this one disappear. So that's kind of what we've talked about. You know, the design of the Model S, it looks like that's just built to go right back up into the dash, and certainly looks like it would feel that way from the driver's seat as well. So definitely seems to be the design element there. I'll have some more thoughts on the yoke soon. I continue to believe that, you know, people are not gonna mind this, despite what, you know, we've seen kind of from the early first couple of reviews here of the Plaid. All right, the next section that I wanted to point out here. So just like Motor Trend said, Wall Street Journal is also saying that the Plaid Model S is using 18650 batteries. So that's been sort of my thesis here for a long time. Motor Trend confirmed that, but you know, that was just one source. So we now have the Wall Street Journal saying the same thing. So I just wanted to point that out as well. Other than that, the Wall Street Journal's article was, you know, very positive. They said it kind of was ruining other cars for them just because of the incredible performance of the Model S. Daniel was feeling just like, you know, cars and coffee and things like that. Other cars are just not really going to measure up anymore. So he's very impressed with the vehicle overall. All right, this is sort of a Friday topic here. I just kind of had to laugh at this today from CNBC. So I'm going to play a short clip here. This is about a lawsuit against Tesla just from an owner in California that had free supercharging and was charged an idle fee at supercharging, which is obviously different from paying for charging. Tesla doesn't want you just parking your car there 24/7, so they've implemented idle fees to make sure people are moving their cars, and an owner didn't like that, so they're suing Tesla. Here is how CNBC's anchor reacted to CNBC having a story about this.
Okay, can we back that up for a second? One guy wants to sue them because he says they're breaking their promise for free charging for life because you get a fine if you leave it there for a fee you have to pay if you leave it there for too long. Talk about a crank.
Yeah.
Like, move your car so somebody else can charge it.
And we forget what goes into.
I can't believe we're actually doing a headline on this. Like, what a crank.
It's another. I read a lot.
So I just had to share that out because the reaction to it was one that I think many of us have had a reaction to various headlines that we may have read over the years as well. So it was an interesting sort of a meta moment there for CNBC that I just felt was pretty humorous and wanted to make sure people got a chance to see as well. All right, last thing here. This is just a quick update from Brussels, capital of Belgium. They are moving to ban diesel and internal combustion engine gasoline-powered vehicles by 2035. So just put this into translator because translating the page wasn't working for me, but they've announced the end of the diesel and petrol era. Diesel and petrol engines no longer welcome by 2035, and from 2030 vehicles with diesel engines will no longer be allowed in low emission zones in Brussels. So obviously globally a pretty small, you know, section there, but did just want to pass that update along. Continuing to see more and more regulations, more and more jurisdictions moving towards these sort of regulations, setting a deadline on sales of internal combustion engines and operation of internal combustion engine vehicles. So I think that is it for today then. I hope everyone has an awesome weekend. We may be back with something this weekend. Otherwise, I will see you all on Monday for the June 28th episode of Tesla Daily. But until then, you can find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. And I'll see you then. Thank you.